Blog Talk Radio.
Never in the field of human conflict was so much owed by so many to so few. I hope, indeed I pray, that we shall not be found unworthy of our victory if after toil and tribulation it is granted to us. For the rest, we have to gain the victory. That is our task.
Let us therefore brace ourselves to our duty, and so bear ourselves that if the British Empire and its commonwealths last for 1,000 years, men will still say, this was their finest hour.
We shall not fail or falter, we shall not weaken or tire. Neither the sudden shock of battle nor the long-drawn trials of vigilance and exertion will wear us down. Give us the tools, and we will finish the job.
We shall go on to the end. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender.
You have tried to change my country. You've tried to change my life. No one ever asked me if I thought that this was right. It's time for us to tell you that we will go through hell to defend our country and to help the EDL. I'm proud to be an Englishman and I'm going to be free. I won't forget the men who died to get that right to me. And we will stand up against you and defend England every day. There's no doubt we love this land. We'll save England and the UK. Lied to all the people and tried to take away their rights. But we won't let you sell this land, not without a fight. It's time for us to tell you that you can go to hell. It's time for us to stand and fight and join the EDL. I'm proud to be an Englishman and I'm going to be free. I won't forget the men who died to give that right to me. And we will stand up against you and defend England every day. There's no doubt we love this land. To save England and the UK.
Welcome to the English Defence League radio show, broadcasting live on blogtalkradio.com. The English Defence League radio show, the truth and the voice of the EDL. What I'll do is I'll read out my banner for the show today, the EDL radio show, the Bar Politicians and Countdown to Didsbury. Didsbury, the 21st of September begins. Welcome to the English Defence League radio show with your host, Jeff Spider Mitchell, and my wingman this afternoon is Dave Agador Milner. Before I continue on with the script, I've got some sad news that Dave informed me that he's had a bereavement in the family. His mother's passed away, so I think we all send our love towards Dave, thoughts and the prayers from all of us with the Blog Talk family and, of course, the EDL. Everybody, you're in our thoughts and prayers, Dave. And I will play our tune in a second, but someone that stepped in to be with me today, one of my dear, closest friends, is Kel, the Red Fox blogger. She should be joining me this afternoon. So on this short notice, I've got once again to thank this awesome lady. And that's very early in Canada today. So once again, Kelly, thank you for joining myself. And so it's very sad. I feel very, I was told quite late last night, and I just felt so sorry for Dave and his loss and his family's loss, actually. Anyway, I'll continue with the script, and I'll bring out Kelly in then. Today, we will be discussing the next demo, and our campaign for the 2018 is Didsbury for the 21st of September. So, foot soldiers, angels, and supporters of the cause, once again, you're asked to set forth and put your feet on the street like you do so well. We will take a critical look at our politicians, my goodness me, who have a selective deafness to the plight of the people they govern. It's about them and to hell with everyone else. Well, I think I will agree with that. We will also cover events of the week, including the concerning Hurricane Florence bearing down on the United States of America, the Carolinas. Our thoughts are with the people at this time. Please stay safe. No surrender. In hoc signo vinces. With that, before I play a tune on behalf of Dave and his pastor and his mum, I'd like to bring on Kel, the Red Fox brother. Kel, thank you so much for joining me this afternoon, and it's really short notice as well, isn't it? So good to have you here today, and I hope you're well, Kelly.
I am doing okay, and it's my honor to join you today, Jeff, and of course our condolences to Dave and his family. Yeah. But hey, I'm more than happy to try to fill his big shoes.
Well, yeah. You always do, Kel. I mean, you're pretty awesome. And I did think of anybody else but you, Kel. I thought, you're my old wingman, aren't you? My wing lady. But thank you so much. As I say, Dad managed to get the slides up today, and he done the little script in there like he normally does. So I've got to thank him, but our thoughts are with him. Very difficult this time, when you have a bereavement in the family, especially someone so close to your mother, isn't it? But
exactly.
Anyway, as I say, the show's got to go on, Jeff, and with Kel, which what we're going to do, isn't it, Kel? But before I think this song's quite appropriate. In the arms of an angel, Kel. I think it's I didn't know what else to put. I thought the prayer was like, it's really difficult, isn't it? But this is for our dear friend and our colleague, Dave Agador Milner, and his dear mother and his family, isn't it, Kel? So with that, let's play this tune.
Spend all your time waiting for that second chance, for a break that would make it okay. There's always some reason to feel not good enough, and it's hard at the end of the day. I need some distraction.
And I'd say that that tune goes out to Dave and the family, Dave Agador. Yeah, Kel, so my goodness me, it's a beautiful day today. I don't know what it's like in Canada at the moment, but it's a beautiful day today in the UK. It's warm. I've got my little air conditioner on here, Kel. It's just keeping me cool. call because I'm right by the wind and the sun shines right through. You know what I mean?
We got your weather, didn't we? It's cold and foggy here today.
Right,
we got English weather.
Well, we've had some glorious weather this year. I mean, what can we do? What can we say? Can't complain this year. We can only have a moan about the weather, but it's been perfect. I would say it's, you know, probably been one of the best summers for a long time.
Yeah.
I don't know what sort of a weather you've been having in Canada. I think you've been having really good weather as well, haven't you?
It's been not too bad. It's going to take a turn for us, though, because we're also more or less along the path of Hurricane Florence. And we get the aftermath. Like, we get a lot of rain and wind where I am.
Yeah.
All the way up the East
Coast,
in fact.
We've had these discussions before about different hurricanes that have come along and you're down that alleyway type of thing, aren't you?
Where exactly.
You get some really, really heavy rain or whatever. But I really feel for the people. Florence is really going to be laying it off heavy. I mean, I didn't know exactly the strength it was going to come in at. I thought it was
read a report this morning. In fact, Jeffy, good news. It's been downgraded to a level 2 hurricane at this point.
So, yeah, that's right. It's still concerning because it's slowed down. And this is where a lot of the damage can be caused with the surge, the wave surges and that. And it could just sit there. Days, couldn't it? A day and a half, 2 days.
Yep.
So you can imagine how much rain on top, because it's been quite wet in the Carolinas, isn't it? They've had a lot of rain, so that's not going to be too good. Just hope the people's properties and that doesn't get too hit bad. We always think of the worst when it's not. Hasn't turned out quite as bad. We always say, thank goodness it could have been. You know, we always do this, don't we, Gail? We always do this. We always think for the worst. And we was expecting it coming in at one stage. It was hitting 4, it's that strength 4, with winds reaching up to 150 to 156 mile an hour. Well, now it's not that bad. It's not quite as damaging, the wind effect, but it's still going to be massive. It's probably one of the biggest in the Carolinas or down that end for many years. So the President Trump was saying, last I heard, But anyway, Kel, I can't believe we got a demonstration within a week and a half.
Unreal.
It did spring.
Unreal.
Yeah, when you travelled, now, I don't know Didsbury. Did you actually come across Didsbury when you was over in the
no,
UK?
No, I didn't make it to Didsbury, no. But this is going to be a national demo.
I was in shock. Was it at the end, Didsbury? Do you know?
Where the heck was I, Jeff?
Walsall, you went to Walsall.
Jeff, what's my name? Mom.
Well, me and you, we done the Lincolnshire demo.
Lincolnshire, and then I did Walsall, right.
And then you did Walsall. I think you come home, we done the Lincolnshire one, then you come, you stayed over with me for a week, then you went up to see Poppy and her hubby, and then from there, then you went up to Walsall. You met up with Sir William Bill, our dear friend, Bill, and then you done your demonstration in Walsall. So that's in Birmingham, basically. Side of things, isn't it? So now I think Didsbury is towards Yorkshire. I might be wrong. I should have Googled this before I bloody come to it.
I think that Dave put a picture slide up there of a map or something. I'm not too sure. What's he got up there? He's got some good slides up there today.
Yeah,
and he's wearing the T-shirt I bought him for Christmas a few years back.
Yeah.
Alamy? Yeah.
I've got a T-shirt, the same T-shirt, the Infidels T-shirt as well. I've got that in my cupboard there as well, Kelly. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I love the one I sent you guys, the T-shirts I sent. I love the one today. Yeah, that's right. Communism killed 100 million people, and all I got was this lousy T-shirt.
You've done a lot when you come over. I mean, you had a lot of gifts given from our EDL.
I had so much swag. I felt like I was at the Academy Awards when they passed out the swag to, you know, the nominees and things like that. I came home loaded with everything from coffee mugs to pins to my hoodies.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was spoiled rotten.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. We spoiled you. That's it. We spoiled you. I mean, and ladies and gentlemen, Kel had her own bodyguards as well. You know what I mean?
That's right.
Kel, didn't we?
Yeah. And I'm Facebook friends.
Well,
you
was a VIP, Kel. You know what I mean? He's come all the way from Canada, a couple of thousand, 3,000 miles, how many? You know, that's what, you know, when people are coming up to you, where'd you come from, Kel? Canada. Oh, you come all the way for our demonstration? You know, that's what they were saying, wouldn't they, Kel?
Yeah.
People coming up and giving you a hug and that and a kiss and, you know, and that was just the blokes.
I know. And when I got home and I checked out my Facebook page, I had like 60 friend requests. I accepted them all because I just love the English Defense League and the spirit.
The best, and Kel, you got to admit.
You better believe
it. You know, we talked about, ladies and gentlemen, me and Kel, we talked about it. And you know, she was coming over. She wanted to come over and do some demonstrations. She wanted to come over to visit a few of her friends in the UK. And we often talked about what it would be like when she comes. And I said, you will be spoiled. I said, you know, and you know, the feeling with what you had from everybody was over the moon that you joined us, and you said we marched at the front, didn't we, Kel?
Oh yeah, we were the Grand Marshals. Yeah, that was so cool. We were in front of the security detail. That was awesome.
Well, I mean, that was it. It was a very special, and I bet you'll never ever forget the time that you spent over here, Kel. I mean, it was, and we won't forget you. You know, when you come and spent a bit of time with me, and we went out, we went places and that, and we was having a laugh a minute when it was a good time.
It was so much fun. I miss you guys so much. Oh, I really want to
come back
again.
Well, you're only at the end of the phone, Kelly. I'm always bloody calling you.
Or I'm sending you Skype messages. Hey, Jeff, are you here? Jeff, I need to talk to you, Jody.
Friends are friends, aren't they? Ladies and gentlemen, friends are friends. And just because it might be a couple of thousand miles away, listen to this. I mean, we're at the end of the phone talking to each other.
So what you wearing?
The technology. But anyway, I mean, we got this demonstration coming up on the 21st, which is what's that, about 10 days, isn't it? Something like that. What are we up to, 10?
Yeah, what is today? Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Thursday. 7, 9, is it not a week this Saturday?
Oh, my goodness me. That's quick. You know, everybody's up for it, then, you know, let's roll with it, like, you know, and because, you know, going back and doing the last one at Worcester, that was the return. Now, we went back in it with a force of us, and our speeches was heard, and that's all we wanted to do, you know. We knew there was people there trying to disrupt. But it didn't stop us doing what we should have done. After the first issue that we had with been totally overrun with Marxists and the Muslims. As you said, there's plenty of videos out there, Kel. And something that stands out was that our lad standing there, and he was absolutely surrounded by hordes of screaming, baying Muslims, running their fingers across their throat, threatening to behead us. You know, that was it. I mean, that's the reason why so many people turned up. You know, that was never going to happen again. That's what the EDL said. This will never, ever happen again. And of course, we made it quite clear to the police. You better do your job. Otherwise, we will just take over. We will police ourselves. And, you know, you can go and stuff yourself, basically. So they by what we said. Because they knew we meant business, girl. We weren't messing about. But it seems sad that we got to go back to a place to make sure that people who wanted to stay in the first place heard our message to them that we're there for them.
I've just got something here I want to share with you, Jeffy. I'm at the English Defense League, the official English Defense League website, and I'm looking at the upcoming events. And what they have here is a Saturday, the 20th of October, 2018, National Demo, Didsbury in Manchester.
Oh, I've got the wrong page. What is that? Kelly, give me a slap on the legs with a wet lettuce.
No, it's not your fault because the wrong date was put. The wrong date was put in the show notes, but that's okay. That can be corrected quite easily. And while I'm here on the page, and there's another update on the 1st of November on a Thursday for 2018. Yorkshire EDL protest against Muslim child grooming gangs.
What? That's the 1st of November?
Yeah.
Did you say Thursday?
It's on a Thursday. Yeah, I don't know if they're... If they're going to be outside Leeds or Crown Court. That's why it's on a weekday. Okay, so that makes sense.
Yeah, I'm with you now, Kel. Yeah, as I say, I haven't been in the... website for a few days, so I'm missing a few things. But once again, I've got to thank you for being diligent and checking things out for me. So, would you like to tell people, that they're not in no confusion, trying to get all their pennies and eighties saved up? For the demonstration will be the 20th or the 21st of October.
The 20th. Yes, Saturday the 20th of October, and it's a national demo, Didsbury in Manchester, and then, of course, outside of a Leeds Crown Court on November 1st of this year, the Yorkshire EDL protest against Muslim child grooming gang. So I put the link in the chitty chat box for your listeners there, Jeffy.
Unfortunately, have you had any cases in Canada at the moment? Have you been having any sort of things like the grooming gangs that we're experiencing? Because
we're seeing an uptick in criminal activity ever since Justin Trudeau opened up Canadian borders. And as a matter of fact, I'll be covering a story on my show later on today about a migrant who arrived in Canada. He was here less than 3 months, and he abducted and killed a 13-year-old girl.
So
we're seeing stories like that. We're seeing bombings in restaurants. We're seeing, of course, truck attacks. We're seeing shootings in Toronto.
God.
there's an uptick going on here with the migrants for sure. We're feeling it.
You never used to have this, Kelly, a few years ago
not really.
Of power.
We had some attempted attacks. Yeah, like you remember you and me, we were talking about the Toronto 19 from a few years back that had plans to blow up the business district and the East CN Tower. We thwarted a lot of these attacks, but now these individuals, they are by death by a thousand cuts creating all of these problems. And it's right across the country, everywhere from British Columbia all the way to the East Coast in Newfoundland.
Well, yeah, unfortunately, you've got to get rid of this guy. It's one way or the other. I've been hearing there was a lot of talk about him, that there's politics, there's a politician that could come along and totally clean the house and be put in a position. And I can't remember his name, but I've been listening to it lately. You know the guy I'm talking about. He could be the saviour of Canada, and I can't think of his name, but...
We have a new sheriff in town. His name is Maxime Bernier. He used to belong to the Federal Conservative Party of Canada, which the leader of the Federal Conservative Party of Canada is Andrew Scheer. But we are losing faith in Andrew Scheer because he is more or less mimicking Trudeau policies, and we are very upset about this. He is supporting climate accords, like the Paris Accord. He is supportive of that. Canada wants out of that. He is supporting too many Trudeau policies. And we had a real maverick.
Well, you don't need someone who should really be on the Trudeau party than this other guy, Maxime. What did you say his name, Kelly?
Bernier.
Gentleman?
Yeah.
Bernier?
Yep,
Bernier?
He's forming his own federal party, and he has a big announcement tomorrow. So I'm really looking forward to that. And Maxime Bernier, like I said, he was
party,
a maverick with the Federal Conservatives. Yeah, he's very effective.
So is it going to be independent, not the run-of-the-mill, you know, the Labour Conservative, independent Conservative, yeah?
Well, there's talk that he might merge with the Libertarian Party of Canada, because Maxime Bernier is pretty much, like me, a Libertarian, in that we want small government, and we want to be left alone. We want secure borders, and we want a cap on this migrant immigration. I don't mean immigrants. Immigrants welcome if they come through the front door and, you know, through all the right channels, but we want a complete and utter end to this migration that is going on. Maxime Bernier, he's speaking about those issues. The man is a nationalist, thank goodness, because this is what we need. We need a nationalist running this country and try to undo all the damage that has been created by Justin Trudeau since he was elected.
You get classed as a nationalist, and then you get classed as a bigot, racist, blah,
That's
blah.
Right.
You know what the left are like, Kel.
That's right.
We all know, being classed as a nationalist, then you're the lowest of the low in their eyes, and... you know, a scourge on society because you're patriotic. It seems to be a swear word to call yourself a patriotic now. You could end up in prison. Especially over here.
And people are. Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
Motion 103 passed in one of the... It was slipped in. Into one of our bills, I can't remember which bill, be C-75 or C-76, I can never keep all the bills straight. But, Motion 103, the anti-Islamophobia motion, it is going to be a crime to criticize, they blanket it as criticism of religions, but Jeffy, you and I know they're talking about Islam, right?
Well, of course we know, Kelly. It's the way that they slide these things in, and to think that we're all stupid, that we won't get it. But we've got it for a long time. As I say, over here, we've got blasphemy laws over there that we should have never had, but they slide in the hate crime, the hate religious things. We knew that they were doing this. This is why we need to totally, especially this country, we need a total shake-up, a shake-up of the political arena. Something that has been talked about, as I say at the moment, I think it's up in the air a little bit, is that Tommy Robinson becoming a member of the UKIP. The only trouble is up in the air at the moment. It seems like everybody was for it, but it does see there's some dissension there, and it could be still up in the air. But I think that Tommy Robinson, if he, because he's got so much support, global support, not just you know, an ordinary type of support, but he is as more popular than Nigel Farage. Nigel Farage, I used to like Nigel Farage.
I'm
done with the person. I'm done with him
so
now.
I was
thankful that he did what he did with our Brexit. But did you notice, as soon as Brexit had gone, you know, we got our Brexit, he stepped away from UKIP.
I hope he's not making designs on coming back.
Well, that's what he's been talking about. He's been talking about it for a while. But I'll tell you what, the real person to lead UKIP would be Tommy Robinson. He's the working class person who they need. That party, I'd have a word with Tommy and his team. You know, if he can't do it through UKIP, open up an independent party, because people will gravitate around there. Just get people, get the funding. It'd be easy to do, because then you'd be a new political party on the block. And I think if UKIP don't have Tommy, right, and it's there, well, they're going to just they're going to fall and flutter. You know what I mean? But to Tommy Robinson on board, that party would have picked up. So they still got a chance to do it. And we're still up in the air.
Yeah.
But everybody will gravitate around Tommy. He's got a lot to offer for the future.
Well, you know, the thing is, too, and Cole Orton brings up an excellent point. As a matter of fact, Cole Orton has a question I'm going to relate to you. But Cole Orton brings up a really good comment. Didn't Farage walk away because he had had enough of the hassle? He got divorced, attacked, he went through hell, etc.
Yes. All that and more. But he did walk away. But it's once, you know, it's like Tommy Robinson can't walk away from his life, can he? Tommy Robinson is always going to be out there. I mean, it's just naming up. And, you got a burden on your shoulders, and you've got to carry forth with what you've got. You know, Tommy Robinson will never get away from being a founding, the leader, the co-leader, whatever you want to call Tommy Robinson, of probably the biggest street ground movement probably across the globe. But, you see, he'll never get away with that, get away from that. He'll always be classed as being the founding member. And, of course, it's always great. Whenever he's mentioned the EDL, I mean, our website goes crazy, so I'm always thankful for Tommy.
Now, I had always been a fan of Nigel Farage. I really admired the man. What he did in endorsing, like, President Trump, for example, that I was just fist-pumping for this guy. But what really soured me is what happened last week when he was in Australia. And he was being interviewed by Avi Yemeni, I think that's his name. And his comments about Islamic immigration really upset me.
Yeah, and also, what shined through, for our listeners out there, what shined through with Farage is the elitist in him. That's what shined through. And Steve Bannon also picked up on the elitist with Nigel Farage, the Jolly Boys Club, and all that. We get it. closet elitist, you know. Nigel,
yeah.
Doing his thing. Nigel, do your things in the background. We're not stupid people. We all picked up on it. Matty made it as plain as the thumb on the end of your thumb.
I've got the link to that interview, in fact. And it was indeed Abby Yemeni. I'll put this in the chitty chat box for you folks. It's really easy to find if you go to YouTube.
Could we play it? I know you put another great link in there, a new Pat Condell video. Kelly, I was wondering, should we play that? I wonder.
Yeah, I think that would be a really good idea. Dave said that he had it in the studio. I think he said he did.
Oh, okay. Okay. I'm not in the studio, I'm just in the chat room. Let's have a look. Pat Condell. I can't see it. He's probably put... Oh,
no,
hang on.
I'm
sure you can see it there.
If worse comes to worse, I can probably play it through my speakers here on my end. But,
yeah,
how would Dave label it? Probably Nigel Farage or something weird like that. Well, not weird, but,
yeah.
You know, obvious, I should say. Not weird, obvious.
I can't. I must get new glasses. That's the trouble as well, Kelly.
You and me both.
Yes, please.
I'm hearing you.
I'm sorry, Kel.
Do you want me to play it through? Oops. Uh-oh. I might not be able to. Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, I can play it through my end, I think. I can mute you and play it through my speakers here. That'll work. Do you want me to try that?
Yes, please, Kel. If it's all right. Yeah, cheers.
Okay, let's get this a go, people. Okay. We're playing with technology, and here we are. This is from September 7th of 2018. This is Abby Yemeni in conversation with Nigel Farage at the Nigel Farage GME. I don't know what that means exactly, but enough of me. Let's take a listen to this exchange. It's about 4 minutes long, and here we go.
And it's created a lot of conversation where you condemn those in the right that are waging war on Islam.
On the entire religion, yes. I mean, it's nuts. I mean, you can do it if you want, but you'll lose. Look, we have a massive problem right across the West with Islamism. I could take you right now to parts of Paris, parts of Brussels, that are now unrecognizable as Western cities.
I've been there and I've seen it. I've served in the Middle East and I understand what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I guess what people are asking is, the only reason we're not going to get into that battle is because we're going to lose or because it's
morally
wrong?
Morally it's wrong and we're going to lose. Look, the vast majority of Muslims living in Western countries are settled, are integrating. Then you find the ghettos where they're not even learning English. It's a disaster, and that extreme culture is flourishing. Let's fight Islamism. Let's fight the bad guys. Let's be a lot more robust about our Judeo-Christian culture. Let's stop practices like FGM being carried out wholesale. Listen, I'm not weak on this. I'm tough on this. But if this descends into a battle of hatreds,
absolutely,
history teaches us the ending would be very bad indeed.
Can I ask you straight, do you think Islam is compatible, Islam itself, the ideology, is it compatible with Western values or not?
Is the Old Testament compatible with Western values? I mean, you could ask that question, actually, of every religion. It is of course about interpretation.
Absolutely, I agree with you.
There are parts, latter parts of the Quran that are troubling. But do you know something? In the 21st century world, there are earlier parts of the Bible that are troubling. This is about interpretation. Do I think there is hope that we can get the vast majority of Muslims on our side against the bad guys? That is what we absolutely must do.
Can I put it to you, last comment, because I know I'm getting in trouble, last comment, because somebody who's served in the Middle East and has seen it close up, the problem is that I see, and many see, is that Christianity, Judaism, they went through reformation. The problem in Islam is that the Quran is the word of God, can be unchanged. Muhammad was the perfect man. every Muslim must emulate and be him. He married a six-year-old. He killed 600 Jews. How do we reform that when they say he is the perfect man? He's not Jesus.
I think there is a strong argument for reformation to go on within that religion. I wouldn't argue against that at all. But believe me, we've got a box clever on this. We've got to get this right. We must not encourage religious hatred between different religions and indeed between different races. We've got to get this right. We must uphold our principles, our culture, our heritage.
Do you think that's possible? Do you think it's possible to...
Well, if it's not, we've lost.
Well, maybe fighting it is the answer.
What? So how many will you kill?
That's the question. That's the question.
No, I'm asking you a question. What are you going to do, kill them all?
I don't. Absolutely, I'm not pro-genocide. I personally believe that when you you say moderate Islam, often I hear you talk about the moderates. Define moderates. There is one Islam.
I meet them every single... I think you're missing a trick here. I think you are saying that everybody that's Islamic is, you know, hard line on the religion. The vast majority are not. The vast majority of people of Islamic faith living in Britain are pretty well integrated into our society. I'd lots of them vote for me.
And I would argue they're not really, they're not Muslim. They're Muslim by identifying as Muslim, like I identify as a Jew. But they're not Muslim by faith. You either believe Muhammad is the perfect man or not.
Then you would say that every Christian hates all homosexuals. Thank you.
I don't see Christians blowing up buildings. It's Islam that's the problem.
Yeah, what can I say about it? It faded out at the end, didn't it, Kel?
A little bit, yeah. Sorry about that.
Yeah, but Nigel Farage, what a disappointment. Could you imagine him leading a country? What we'd have now with Nigel Farage has been no different than what we see with the Theresa Mays and all the lot of them. you know, the way that he speaks about... as Avi said, you know, there was a reformation with Christianity, etc., etc., Judaism, but not with Islam. And Farage was questioning Avi of the reason why he put these questions forth. Did you get that, Kel?
Oh my gosh! And yeah, like Avi was merely asking about the political aspects of Islam and how we're going to deal with the political Islam in our midst. And all of a sudden, Nigel Farage turned it into Avi wanted to engage in some sort of mass genocide of Muslims. Like, what was that?
Yeah, I mean, did you get that? That's what I got, because he doesn't want to answer the real question of what we're going to do, because he doesn't know what we could do. Isn't it, Kel? It's quite obvious. He just doesn't have any idea. Oh, let's just hope that the Muslims join in with us or whatever. You know, that's the way he looks at it. Well, it's not going to be like that. They want complete dominance. He is a bloody pleb, a muppet, whatever you want to call him, because we... people like me and you, and people like the EDL, we know exactly what this country has got in the future for it. If people don't stand up and stop hiding under rocks like Farage and ducking and diving questions because he's not man enough to speak out what needs to be spoken out. Like, if it was Sir Winston Churchill, he would have told you. We need to sort this problem out. He pre-warned us bloody a century ago, didn't he, Kel? But Farage, he's just one of the elite, He wants to run along in the elite boys club, jolly boys club, and I'm sorry, I've lost all my faith in Nigel Farage. The only person I've got faith in this country is people like Tommy Robinson and what's it called, Batten, you know, the one who's in charge of the moment.
Lord Batten.
And knows exactly what we need to do. So don't need to bring Nigel Farage back into the fray when he'd already walked away from the party. But that's what we need. That's what we need. I mean, we need men with vision. He hasn't got a vision. He pretends he has, and when he's drinking his pint of beer, looking jolly good chat show, doing that, you know, people say, oh, he's a good old boy. No, he ain't. He's an elitist. Bannon sorted him out. He got it. So do me, and so do you, Kel, and so do thousands and millions of people now understand where Farage really has come from. You know, the closet elitist. Now it's out in the open.
Yeah, this has really
And you
really
hear the way
he's
bad
map,
Tommy Robinson.
Indeed.
So, Farage, my middle finger, you see it? If you're listening, spin on it. Spin on it. Go and jog off with your jolly boys club. Because we need men with vision and men, okay? Not ones who hide in cupboards and things like that. I've got to say, Kelly, I'll probably upset a lot of people too bad.
Oh, this video, it really, it hurt him quite badly. Let me see. Let me go back to the page, the YouTube page, and let's see. Oh, my gosh, yes. There are 2,462 comments. 46,255 views, and people are very unhappy, in the chat box.
So what
over
is
there
his
on YouTube?
Favorability to his negativity? You know, his favorability. What did people? Was people favored him? I suppose the left side of things, yes, I think.
Like I say. I don't know if I didn't realize that Nigel had been actually subject to some rather astounding abuses when he was the leader of Brexit, and that resulted in, you know, a personal crisis for him. But how is this affecting his thinking when it comes to dealing with political Islam? I don't know. I'm totally baffled by it.
Well, he hasn't got any idea. Has let it run along and hope that the Muslims will come around, sing Kumbaya, and then we all live in peace together. It's not what they want. It's not. He doesn't live in the real world then, does he? He lives in his mansion somewhere in the middle of nowhere, and he doesn't really know that there's kids up and down this country who are being raped left, right and centre, human traffic going on. Kids being cut up and put in kebabs. I don't think he really cares, as long as it doesn't affect him and his family. We do care. We bloody care.
I'm trying to be as kind as possible, but it's harder and harder. Like how surely he is a man of compassion, in that he realizes that the indigenous English had been subject to so many horrific abuses at the hands of Mohammedans. Surely he must feel some compassion there, but I don't know what is going on with him in this particular instance.
It's quite obvious there was no compassion. In fact, talk to about Abby about a genocide. Now, come on, that is totally blatant of where he stands.
That's a good point. Yeah, you're right. Good point.
Yeah, you get me, Kel.
He doesn't really
care, as long as it doesn't affect him or his close family. But people like myself and you and other people related to the EDL, we care. These are our communities. They're not Nigel's community. Him and his,
you know, you bring up a really good point there, Jeff, about his family. Maybe... that is what is going on, is that he has faced threats. Maybe his children have faced the threats, and he is trying to, you know, quell the threats against his loved ones. That's the point.
Come on. And, well, who hasn't? Let's be honest. Who? Look at Tommy Robinson. Look what his kids have been threatened before. Beheading. Look what they threatened to do to his wife and his mum. Set them alive. Cut them up. Shot.
But he is driven by fear.
All the time. I mean, you know, either you're a man of conviction and courage, or you do Nigel Farage. You do a backward flip and sit in the background trying to not gain any, you know, any negativity about him speaking out against Islam. You know what I'm saying? This is it. Because he hasn't got the bottle. He hasn't got the bottle. People like Tommy Robinson and people like ourselves, we're the men who's going to be on the streets, who's going to take back our streets and cities and towns and when it comes to it. And we've all shed our blood on the streets to do it. We will fight.
Exactly. Look at Tommy Robinson. You're right. What a great point. Again, like, Jeff, you're knocking them out of the park today, my dear man. Tommy with his family. And that man is not slowing down at all.
Yeah.
And I just love your listeners. And Cole Orton, he's one of my listeners too. Bless this man.
He's brilliant. He's a good
yeah,
lady.
And he's bringing up some bonus points in the chat room. And once again, Cole is right on the money here. I believe it's fear that drives him fear to even go near the subject of Islam.
I'm sorry to say. I didn't mean to step over here, Kel. I was saying a slight delay, you know how it is. But Colliton, he knows how it stands. He comes from the Midlands. He knows exactly what's going on around him. And he feels like, because we've had a couple of conversations about it, he's a good lad.
Yeah.
And he knows how bad it is. But people like the Farages, they don't really care as long as it doesn't affect them. But people like Colliton and other people, it is affecting people around you, Sylvie. This is your communities. There isn't all inundated with bloody mosques, super mosques, etc. You know, they're going up. If you look at if you do a Google thing of the map of the mosques in this country, they're like jumping up from nowhere. They're everywhere, Kel. Everywhere. And it shows their dominance. They want to dominate
in Canada.
Our country.
Yeah, well, happening in Canada and the United States, too. Yeah.
You know why I'm not going to be dominated by these bunch of 6th-century maggot heads. I'm not going to be. I love my 21st century. You're not going to drag me back to some screaming abba-dabby whatever cave somewhere. I like the technology. I love moving forward. We'd never move forward with someone like Islam. How could you ever move forward with this dark cult of Islam, this death cult? How could any of us, Kel?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, and indeed. And, you know, the thing is, too, is that the old saying, as it goes, is that if we endure World War III, the aftermath will have us fighting with sticks and stones again. I really do believe...
We'll be fighting the cockroaches, Kel.
Oh, yeah. They'll be the only ones that survive. Little cockroaches.
Or muzz roaches. They're turned into muzz roaches. Now I'm going to get banged for that now.
No, but I really do believe that Islam is going to be the defining factor in totally shifting humankind as we know it, or peoplekind, as Justin Trudeau would say there, Jeffy. Not mankind, not humankind, but peoplekind. But I really do think that Islam will be like a dividing, it's a dividing rod, I think, that will establish where we go from here. Like, I was watching a really good documentary, I think it was about 2 weeks ago, about the Crusades. Well, I watch as many documentaries about history anyway. I'm a huge history buff, and there were some really good docs out there about the Crusades. And I am so sick of this canard, you know, Jeff, that when we bring up the the Islamic encroachment in the West and their political taking over of our systems, as it were, like their the political Islam. They're winning by the vote. They're not winning by the sword. And when we try to bring up that,
you're right, Kel.
And we always get the Crusades thrown in our faces. I'm sick of that.
I hope you don't mind, Kel. I'm going to run the show
Half hour. But you have to dial back in.
I've got something. You were just talking about the Crusades, wasn't you? So it's funny. I was just hovered over it. It just caught my eye. This is not a Crusade. Should we play that? And it gives me
that
time to call back, yeah?
Perfect.
Okay, Kel. Thank you. Thank you for being here as well, Kel. With that, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back in about, what is it, about 2.5 minutes, something like that, isn't it, Kel? Something like that.
Yeah.
So we'll be back in a very short time, ladies and gentlemen. So here we go. This is by Anglo-Saxon, isn't it? Of course it is. This is not Crusade.
Forgive them, for they know not what they do. This is not a crusade. This is not a crusade. But the march of the tides is starting to change. Sacrificed on a summer's day, the slaughter of the meek came under the streets. Now nothing can ever be the same. No, nothing can ever be the same. This is not a crusade. This is not a crusade. There's a line in the sand no man can cross. The deserts are yielding to the sea. The oasis of salvation lies within our reach. The children of tomorrow hold the key. The children of tomorrow hold the key. This is not a crusade. This is not a crusade. When three kings from afar follow the star, 2,000 years ago this was the sign. Now the east winds blow, the people should know, this is the sign of our times. 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 This is not a crusade. This is not a crusade. With the wolves at the door, I can't take any more. This freedom is a heavy price to pay. The road to Damascus seems so far away. It's the battle for hearts and minds today. 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 This is not a crusade. This is not a crusade. This is not a crusade. This is not a crusade.
Well, there you go. This is not a crusade, Anglo-Saxon. I find that just right, you know, when you were talking about the Crusades, what he's watching there. And that was just be hovering over there, and I thought, I need to type up, let's play that. So, that was pretty good, that was. So, we'll be back in the second half of the EDL radio show, and stepping in to me today is one of my dearest, closest friends, Kel, the Red Fox blogger, with her own little network. good for that year.
I'm grading my own people.
Unfortunately, we come at sadness with the passing of Dave's mother. That's I didn't receive it. Then I was just about to go to bed. It was quite late last night, and then I had my old Skype going, and they said, Jeff, I've got to let you know, you know what I mean? It's like a punch in the stomach, isn't it? You know, when you get bad news from your friends, isn't it, Kel? But as I say, at a very last moment, you stood in for me as usual, Kelly, and thank you so much. And I think the show's gone so quick today as well.
Flying. That's what happens, though. you get Jeff and Kel in the same room.
You know, we get engaged in different things that we're discussing, especially we're talking about Nigel Farage and his elite way that he looks at things. It's quite obvious. And the person that really pointed it out at the time, and I say that was Steve Bannon. Well, he stormed out the old, you know, the producer was having a, you know, saying this and that, and he said, well, I can't be dealing with you either. And that was Farage. He said, you're just the elitist. Jog on, basically. And I think he said the word F off to them.
No, really?
Yeah.
Them be fighting
words. Well, you know what Steve Bannon's like. He don't hold back. That's what I think. Yeah. That's why I've always liked Steve Bannon, because, you know what I mean, he don't take no prisoners. Like, when he goes after someone, he goes after them. He's not frightened up in that, man. You know that, don't you, Kel?
Oh, goodness, no. Right you are.
But anyway, as I say, we've got the... we've got about 20-25 minutes left to the show today. But I was wondering, Kel, why are you here? Was there anything you wanted to be talking about that's been going on in Canada yourself that you want to discuss? Been on the EDL platform today. You want to share with the great listeners
always
and
news.
The great wide audience out there?
Always news out of Canada. And I am going to discuss the migrant issue that is developing in Canada, and obviously not for the good, and in particular the murder of that 13-year-old little girl in British Columbia at the hands of a migrant. This guy, Jeff, wasn't even in the country 3 months. He abducted this little girl from a Tim Hortons. They have not disclosed as to whether or not she was raped. They won't disclose how she was murdered, but I'm sorry, this is a Syrian migrant. I'm pretty sure that she was sexually assaulted, and I don't know. It's a horrifying case, and it took a year to solve her murder and to arrest this migrant. And so I'll be touching upon that. I also have a really good clip for everybody, and this is a clip out of the United States, but I think that it will resonate with everybody and anybody from whatever country they're residing in, and it's about the demographics of the host country and what happens when mass migration takes over, so I'll be sharing that as well. And can I share something with your listeners? This is so thrilling for me.
I got a shout-out
on YouTube. Woohoo!
You try that again.
I got a shout out on YouTube.
Oh, great.
By my friend Elle. Yeah, Elle's Place. I played one of her YouTube videos on the Monday show, and I sent it to her, and I said, "Hey, Elle." And she made an entire segment for me, and she put the link to my show in there and everything. I've never had that happen before. That was so cool. That made my, like, the rest of my day.
Well, that's great. That's great when friends do that. Makes you fly a bit better, doesn't it, as well? Like,
yeah.
You know, it's nice to know, isn't it? You know,
yeah.
it's always nice for people around here willing to help out, and because it's all for a good cause, and it's a good cause that we. I remember when me and Kel first we started chatting together. She listened to my show, I listened to hers, and of course, quite a bit of the show. Kel used to talk about politics. 25% of the show you might hit on the Islamic issue, but now it is pretty prominent. I'd say 70-80% now.
Right, you are.
Of what it was when you first started. Am I right, Kel?
You're right, totally. That's right.
But it just goes to show you, which I think it's when you started listening to me, Kel, and other people, that you realise the plight of how bad this situation is developing, because it was developing, wasn't it? It was getting... And I said to you, way back way, it's going to get worse, Kel. No doubt about it, it's going to be a lot of darkness.
And it is.
Before we see some sort of light. Unfortunately, we're still in the darkness. And we still go, see a little bit of glitch of light out there. Because that is hope. That light that flickers is our hope. People like Donald Trump is giving that flickering light. And that... It helps us to spur us on to keep the fight, because we can't afford to lose. We can't. This fight is too important. It's not about me. It's not about Kel. It's not about people's close by to us. It's about the future. We represent the future. We've got to fight for the future. The future generations deserve it. And if it means... Some of us having to pay the ultimate sacrifice to make sure that there is a future for those children, the future children, so be it. So be it, if that's the way it's supposed to be. Because I'll be damned if I will lead my life in substitute under some dark flag. I would rather go out fighting dying. I'd rather die on my feet than bowed and cowed like a lot of these politicians we got in our countries. People like a Trudeau's, he's a Muslim, and so is Sharia May. And all those betray the indigenous peoples of our nations. Well, there's people, our peoples go back. We fought war after war, and we've won war after war. This is nothing new, but we will overcome it, and we will have a future for the children and the future generations.
And I just want to bring something up that Colorton put in the chat room.
I'm sorry, Kelly. I'm too old.
Oh, no, no. No, I'm interrupting you. It's just that I know that the clock is ticking. But Cole Orton once again brings up a really good point, and I'm going to address this actually on RFB Radio later on today. But what do you think when people say we need mass immigration because our birth rates are too low and the population is decreasing, especially after the world wars? Now, that is a really good point, and this is something that should be addressed. It should be understood. Is that the demographic shift has shifted so much. Like after England, after World War II, I brought in a lot of workers from other European countries, and they were compatible with English culture. They went out of their way to learn English. The same within the United States. They were compatible with the culture. They respected the Constitution. They respected the laws.
Well,
and they integrated beautifully.
Kelly.
But it's changed now, Jeff. Now look at the caliber of the immigrant we're getting now. We're taking in the world's trade.
I mean, you had the West Indians. You remember, going back to the 50s, the early influx of the 50s, I was still growing up. But, in the early 50s, going onward from the 55 to 60, I mean, that's when we got the influx. But the West Indies was like us, you know. I mean, that's why we've always They gelled well with us because they got the Christian background. Some of them very, very religious, and that's why we associate ourselves. See, they blended it so easy with us, but this other ones, what you're saying, Kel, do not want to.
Well, yeah, we were bringing in people that shared the Christian Judeo values. We had other religions joining us, the Hindus, the Sikhs, the Buddhists, and they were integrating quite nicely too, but all of a sudden Islam was introduced, and we noticed that Canada started to change drastically around the mid-1990s, give or take around there, when we started bringing in all of these third worlders.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and that was it. That was the... And unfortunately, I mean, we didn't listen to some of our late people in our history telling us, pre-warning us of the Mohammedans. You know, so Winston Churchill, he fought a lot of these battles against these fearsome warriors, he said. Do you remember in that statement? Fearsome warriors they breed. We cannot be complacent. Unfortunately, that is what's happened, because no one heeded what he had to say. No one heeded what Enoch Powell said, the rivers of blood speech. And we've been seeing rivers of blood of what's going on. You look in the UK, stabbing, shootings, acid attacks, you know, continuous, but they try to go quiet over it. But we know it continues, Kel. We know it's happening. But what you do, you need a clean shot. You need to clamp down and be more strict too in certain things, especially where Islam's concerned. We need, they need to be, that religious status needs to be thrown in the bin. Because
well, they're welfare drains.
Exactly.
You know, when the immigrants after World War One and World War Two, and even into the 1950s when they were arriving on our shores, there was no social safety net like we're seeing today. And they worked hard. And people always argue, too, well, they created their enclaves. Well, no, they didn't create enclaves. You have to understand that there was still a certain amount of racism against, you know, the Italians, the Irish. They were pretty much told, you know, what neighborhoods that they were going to live in, but they never created enclaves. I can walk into an Italian neighborhood, an Irish neighborhood, a Scottish neighborhood, an English neighborhood, and feel very welcome. I cannot walk into an Islamic enclave because they are self-segregating. Not us. And another thing, too, is
dangerous,
that...
isn't it?
Yeah, the Drakes we're getting now, they're coming here to rely on our social services. Like, if we got rid of the social services tomorrow, half of them would go home.
Well, yeah, because they won't be able to survive, let's be honest.
Probably more.
So the social experiment has been one big failure. I mean, and it's proven it now. I mean... Well, it's going this country will be bankrupt soon, I reckon, the way that it's going. I don't know. It's a worrying aspect, isn't it, Kel, for us all, this social experiment, which has been a total failure. That's why Donald Trump is so keen not to have a social experiment like what the Democrats was trying to achieve, you know, the Obama was trying to achieve. It just does not work. And we've found that to our own cost over here. And you are as well, Kel, aren't you? You experience the same situation.
Well, even the Dalai Lama is speaking out about the mass migration. He was in Sweden this week, I believe. And he was in Malmo, and he was speaking with the press, and he said, you guys got to send these migrants back home, have them build their own countries instead of invading yours. And this, the Swedish press was like, that was the Dalai Lama who said that? Like, yeah, like when you're pissing off the Dalai Lama, come on.
Colleton's just put an interesting aspect up there. He says... are we getting in the trouble because We messed about and invaded the Middle East, causing instability, taking out the dictators that keep control, and by backing the state Israel, which really pisses them off. Well, I think he makes a...
I would answer that yes and no. What we have done, I think that what happened is that, especially after 9/11 in particular, George Bush Jr. Went into the wrong countries. Now, there was a sense of stability in the Middle East, and yes, there was a relative calm. We were dealing with dictators, but for the most part, they were benevolent. When we went into Iraq and took out Hussein, big mistake, and then we went into Libya, and I speak we as a collective, and then we took out Muammar Gaddafi, and now they want to take out Assad. We are creating instability. Now, I think that the Muslims, they have their quote-unquote holy obligation to engage in caliphate, and they are, and we're seeing this with the mass migration. This is a caliphate that we're witnessing, people. But that would be a topic that would, you know, cover, you know, my goodness, Jeffy, this would be a two-hour show. But it's a great question.
It certainly will, and we've covered it, myself and you, on numerous occasions. And other shows that we've done and been working together, we Kel. But the aspect is still out there, the caliphate, isn't it? It needs to be totally crushed. We don't need caliphates. All the time we got a caliphate, then we got instability, you know, within the world, didn't we? It needs to be, if there's a caliphate somewhere, it needs to be totally crushed. And Donald Trump has done a fine thing with totally getting shots of all the problems that was involved with the caliphate. Thank goodness it was on his watch. And he just said to the lads, everybody, right, get in there, sort it out, just do it, we need them gone. And do you know what? It works, doesn't it? Let's just, you know, don't cover the, you know, too much press about it. Just go in there, totally decimate them, and then sort of move on, you know. And I think it's the only way. You can't conduct, we've always said this, me and you said it on numerous times, you can't conduct a political correct war. Can you, Kel?
You lose every time.
You can't do it.
You need
to have two hands on a rifle to fire a rifle. You can't fire a rifle without one arm tied behind your back. You get killed.
We're seeing so much more conflict. If someone's going to fire at you or fire,
you take them out. You don't try to wing them. You try to take them out. That's it.
And just to expand on Colorton's point is that it seems like the Islamists were quite passive and easygoing back in the 1900s to the 1970s, etc. And once again, a really good point to bring up. It all comes down to the politics. What happened is that we became globalized in that we have establishment organizations that are kind of riling up the young uns now. Like, you know, the elderly Muslim grandparents, they're not interested in killing the infidel. They just want to live quietly and be left alone. It's this young generation that we're dealing with, and I blame this squarely on the shoulders of organizations like the Muslim Brotherhood, which was established after World War One or during World War One, I can't remember the exact date.
Yeah.
And, of course, all of these Islamic front groups like the Council on American-Islamic Relations, these mouthpieces like Linda Sarsour, the establishment of Al-Qaeda under Osama bin Laden, the list goes on. We created a sense of instability, but also we have encouraged instability within the realm of Islam itself.
Yeah, I agree with you 100% there, Kel. I'm just looking at the time we are. OK, coming down to the end of our show today. I've got to thank you, Kel. As I say, today stepped me in and do such a fantastic job, as you always do, Kelly. You're awesome lady. So, big salute to you. Thank you, Kel. But, Kel, would you like to share with the listeners where they can find you? Because you'll be on a little bit later. If you can share with the listeners and where else that they can find you on your IAW, your Facebook page, and all that. And, of course, your final thoughts for this afternoon, Kelly.
Absolutely. I am RFB Radio. I am on Blog Talk Radio Mondays and Thursdays, 2 p.m. Eastern Time. And I am also part of the Global Patriot Radio team. I am IAW over there Tuesday evening, 6 p.m. Eastern Time. And I pop in and out on other shows. Let me see. If you're a Facebook subscriber, please do subscribe to Infidels Are Watching Facebook page. And, there you go. That's my life.
And your final thoughts for this afternoon, young lady?
Well, as I always say, people, we really do have to keep vigilant. We have to be careful. We are seeing a lot of violence and strife going on out there. Please do not, kick a hapless Muslim in the butt, but do be mindful that the Islamists are out there and they do mean us harm. Therefore, I say it is mass Islamity and we have to stop the insanity.
Absolutely classic, Chris. I like the way you do that, Kelly. Well done. Thank you so much once again. And to everybody, all of our listeners out there, wherever part of the world you are, we know that you do listen to us all over the world, don't they, Kel?
Thank you
so much. And Charlie's just, the executive producer has just chimed up there, Kel. Did you hear that? But thank you all once again. And Colin said the great comments as you always make there, brother. Really great to see you back. So we'll be back again Sunday, and so for myself, from Kel, from the team, from everybody associated with Al Jan Rennie and Leslie Ann Stoffel, and the team, everybody associated with the EDL, the radio show, the organisation, etc., etc. No surrender ever. And I'm going to play that a little bit different tonight because I've been thinking of my mate Dave, so I'm going to play this for Dave. What do you reckon, Kel? This is a lovely tune. The voice.
Absolutely. And once again, our condolences to Dave and his family.
We'll see you Sunday, guys.
Have a great rest of your day, Jesse.
Thank you, Kelly. Thank you so much. That's good.
Listen, my child.
played that for a little while. That was Celtic Woman. I thought I'll play us out a little bit different to what we normally do. But once again, I got to thank Kel for a short notice today joining myself. And having got such a great show with Kel and Colleton, great comments was... something just popped out there. But yeah, guys, we'll be back again this Sunday. We'll see you again, I say Sunday. So this is the English Defence League radio show signing off for this afternoon. It's a glorious sunny afternoon in the UK. We'll see you again this Sunday. And please be vigilant out there. Whatever you're doing, just make sure you've got your guard up, okay? You never know, okay? So we'll see you soon. No surrender ever. Cheers, guys.